Good morning, dear brothers and sisters, and God has granted us one more opportunity to look to His living Word. And it is a great delight as children of God we worship together. Our foundation is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. I would like to turn your attention to a meaningful prayer, a prayer for wisdom made by Moses, the man of God, which we see in Psalm 90. Shall we turn to the book of Psalm 90? And the title of the psalm goes like this: A Prayer of Moses, the Man of God. Psalm 90. We will be looking at the key verse of the psalm that is indicating the prayer for wisdom. Verse number 12. Shall we focus our attention on verse 12? So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. A few years back, a very close relative of mine was admitted in the hospital with three major blocks, all of them above 95%. And the person was staying abroad with his wife and two kids. And the doctors over there advised immediate open heart surgery. And they were not allowed to travel or come back to India. And they were alone in that place, and the church community was playing a very important role in comforting them and strengthening them. But the sad thing they realized when the medical experts counseled them was that it was a very risky operation. The moment the husband, who is a born-again believer, when he heard that it is going to be a risky operation, he started telling his wife, "I never expected like this. Things were going very well. Moreover, I am only in my early 40s. I have not yet lived enough. I want to live more." And it was a scary thing for him to understand and know that in some case he may lose his life or he may die. Dear brothers and sisters, it is true that there is a reality that you and I have to face one day. But today, many live on the face of the earth with lot of misconceptions about life. Some people think that they're going to live forever and ever on the earth. They live just like that. Some people have very wrong understanding about life. They don't know God's design about life. They don't know what Creator has designed for human life on the face of the earth. So what is the result or outcome? Is people act foolishly. And they indulge in many things during the short period of time. And finally, we see many lives ending in disaster, ending in unproductiveness or unfruitful lives. So dear brothers and sisters who are assembled here, we need wisdom. We all need wisdom to lead our lives properly. We need to understand what is God's design. We should understand what is God's purpose regarding our life. then we can gain wisdom and live our lives fruitfully and properly on the face of the earth. This is exactly what the man of God who knows God is praying. In verse 12, we just read that verse which is the key verse of the psalm. So, we know the context of the psalm also, that when Moses is leading many people in the wilderness, thousands and thousands of people were losing their lives. They were indulging in foolishness. They were indulging in sin. They were indulging in rebellion against God. And finally, most of the people, we know that they perished or they died in the wilderness. So in the whole psalm, if you look at verse from 1 to 17, we understand that Moses is expounding, Moses is explaining about God's design about life. Moses is explaining regarding God's plan or requirements about life, so that you and I may gain wisdom. Even who are living in this century, in this millennium, also may get wisdom how to live effectively on the face of the earth. But a very interesting thing you can see if you read the psalm, before getting into the design of life, Moses is introducing the designer of life. Verses 1 to 2, you can understand three things about the designer of life. So when you go through verse 1 and 2, you have a great opinion. You have a high view about the designer of life. When we look at verse 1 and 2, we find Moses is acknowledging certain things about the designer. Look at verse 1 and 2, we read that Moses is saying that God is the eternal being. Verse 2, we read, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Moses is introducing the designer as the eternal being. There is no beginning or no end to him. He is a great designer. There is no one besides him. And another interesting thing we find about the designer is, he is the one who created life. He has the absolute authority to design anything in your life and my life. Here we understand that in verse 2, before the mountains were born, or you gave birth to the earth and the world. Moses is acknowledging this great fact about the designer, that he is the one who is a source of life. He is the one who created life. He has absolute authority to design anything in your life and my life. And one more thing we understand is, he's not a creator who is living away in the universe without involving in man's life. Bible is telling here, Moses is telling, you are our dwelling place in all generations. You know what is a dwelling place? Dwelling place is a place where there is perfect home setting. We are comforted. We are enjoying the presence of God. Dwelling place is also called as the hiding place. It is also called as the place of refuge. Moses is telling that our God who created life, who is eternal being, he is the one who is involving in our lives day to day. Because he is the dwelling place. Because he is the hiding place. And scripture is telling that he has absolute authority to design anything regarding our life. And we are standing in awe of him when we look at the designer. He is the eternal one. And after this we find that the authority of the designer is established, acknowledged by Moses, we read about the designs the Lord has made regarding our lives. And the first design, we are going to look at three areas of design from this Psalm 90. And the first area of design is to be sure about the duration of our life on the earth. That is a very important parameter of design that is discussed as the first part of the design here by the man of God, Moses. So we can live wise when we know that we have limited duration on the face of the earth. We all know that as born again believers, we are saved for eternity. We have crossed from death into eternal life. But we have a period to live on the face of the earth. That is again designed by the great designer of our lives. And the first area is we can be living wise because God has designed it short. Let us look at two important things of life we learn from verses 3 to 6. Two important things of life have been mentioned here. First one is life will end. Life will end. Scripture is saying in verse 3, you, how it is starting again, very clear about you, God. You turn man back into dust. We all know that turning back man into dust, it is talking about the physical death. And even at the other place also we find in verse 5 also, you have swept them away like a flood, they all fall asleep. Here again it is talking about the physical death. So scripture is telling clearly about life on the face of the earth that it will end. The scripture is very, very clear about it. It will end. Again in verse 5 also we can see who is, in verse 3 again we find a command is issued. Who is issuing the command? In verse 3, and say, God is saying, return. A command of authority. It is issued not by any virus or bacteria. It is issued by God. God is issuing the command, return. And again in verse 5, how it is starting? You have swept them like a flood. So all this shows that the designer himself, he is the sole authority to bring an end to our life on the face of the earth. That is as part of God's design for your life and my life. So, dear brothers and sisters, death on the face of the earth, it is inevitable. Bible is teaching us our life on the face of the earth will end. Then the second area of wisdom that we need to know is regarding the fact that it will end, at the same time it is short also. The life is short. It is having a very limited duration. When you look at the beautiful illustration using by Moses, we find in verse 5 and 6, the duration is compared to the life of grass on the field. Here we find Moses explaining that in the morning it flourishes and towards the end of the day it fades and withers away. How many hours? 12 hours duration. So beautifully the illustration shows that our life will end. At the same time it is not going to last for many, many years. There is a set time. Our Bible teaches that there is a limit. Or it is not a very long duration, it is going to be a short duration. So when we look at these points about God's design, that is the duration of life and the fact that the life will end, how we have to act wisely? Because Moses is crying that, I want to live with wisdom. And a beautiful picture is also presented in verse 4. A comparison is given between how time is evaluated between God and man. Verse 4 tells that 1,000 years is like an yesterday or a few hours during the night for God. That means even the oldest person who lived for 969 years, God says that they are like a few hours for me. That means, again, emphasize the point that our life is having a very short duration on the face of the earth. So how can a person live wisely when you and I know that our life is short and it will end on the face of the earth? And how Moses is responding is really wonderful. Verse 12. So teach us to number our days. What is the meaning of numbering our days? The scripture is telling that count each day in your life. Count each day as accountable. As each day as valuable in life. That means each instance of time must be valuable for you and I. Because the time period is short and it is going to end. Even when we read in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 verse 15 and 16, when Apostle Paul is describing about Christian walk on the face of the earth, 5:16 and 15 and 16, the scripture writes like this, making the most of the time because the days are evil. So again, the New Testament passage is again giving us a strong exhortation that most of the time, use it in the appropriate way with lot of wisdom. And this is a challenge that you and I need to face every day in our life. How best I can use today? How best I can use this hour? How best I can use this coming week? It is a great challenge for you and I. It brings wisdom to our life. Suppose if you and I think that hours are going to last forever, how foolishly I am going to act. The scripture is giving us wisdom that we need to count each day valuable in our life. There was a man who used to come for collecting the garbage in the campus where we stay. He was about 50 years of age. And he used to come every day and take the garbage from the campus. And he used to take it and put it somewhere, some other place. And every day we used to notice this person. He always looks very sad and gloomy. And whenever we try to look at his face, he will purposefully avoid his face as if he never wanted to respond. And we were very sure that this person needs Jesus Christ. This person needs Jesus Christ, was very sure. So me and my wife, we thought that we must be praying about this person every day. We started praying about him. And we also thought that we must talk to him. We must also give him a copy of the Bible. We must do these things. We were just thinking about these things. But we thought that, okay, I will do it tomorrow. I will do it day after tomorrow. And one particular day, we found that the person did not come to collect the garbage. And we went and inquired with the office why he didn't come. And we came to know that the previous day he had passed away. And it really sent a very strong shock wave. That we could not give the gospel on time. And a few days it took for us to recover from the shock. Sometimes we think that days are going to last forever. You may leave or others may leave. Many actions in our life we postpone thinking that we are going to live forever and ever on the face of the earth. The scripture, again, I would say that it was a foolish act for me and my wife to postpone giving the word of God, thinking that the person may leave enough to collect the Bible or to believe in Jesus Christ. And our life on the earth is short. Today we find that many people are investing their time and energy for building and establishing their things on the earth. How foolish it is to know that one day you have to leave these temporary things and go. And how wise a person would be who knows that his time is short or her time is short, and he'll be willing to invest all his time and energy for things that eternity values, of eternal values. We all know that telling a gospel has great eternal value. Encouraging brothers one another, visiting someone who is in trouble and praying with that person, they have eternal values. At the same time, there are so many distractions today, dear brothers and sisters. The days are very evil. Many things are grabbing our attention. Many things are taking our time. Many things are exploiting us. Many, many technology and so many activities are grabbing so much of time, valuable time. All have 24 hours in a day. But sometimes we need to redeem time. Because scripture is telling that use the most of the time. That means sometimes you need to pull out time from the unwanted things and put it in the right use. So the scripture is challenging us to do like this. Even look at the example of Jesus Christ. When you read the book of Gospels, he lived only for 33 and a half years. Always he was on the move. Never we find Jesus sitting idling somewhere. Sometimes we find him slipping to the mountains on the eastern side of Galilee to pray. Scripture is challenging us, dear brothers and sisters, to use the time most appropriately. Our time is limited and it is having very limited duration. And looking at the second area of design that is given in the Psalm here, Psalm 90, is that God's design mandates that we must live under his submission or his lordship. The scripture is challenging us from the Psalm that be living wise or live wisely, because God's design for your life and my life is to live under his submission or lordship. We look at the study of verses from 7 to 11. Shall we look at the verses from 7 to 11? And when you read this verses from 7 to 11, we get a context of the Psalm. On which context Moses has written down this Psalm? We all know that in the book of Numbers we read the rebellion of the people of Israel. They were living in rebellion. They were not walking in the ways of God. They were not willingly submitting under his lordship. They have their own plans. And look at verse 8. Two things we can understand in verse 8. The picture of rebellion is very clear in verses 7 and 11. The picture of the rebellion of people of Israel, they are very clear in those verses. In verses 8, we find that the rebellion is not hidden. We find our iniquities, our secret sins, rebellion of the people are not hidden. It is mentioned there, everything is before God and everything is in the light of the presence of God. That is very clear. And the passage here from verses 7 to 11 teaches us about two important things, how God responds to rebellion. People in the wilderness, most of the people were living in rebellion. Two things we understand about rebellion. The first one is, God is against rebellion. God is against. We read in verse 7. In verse 7, we understand about the response of God. We find he is your anger. Again in verse 7, also we understand about his wrath. Also in verse 11, who understands the power of your anger and your fury? We find how God is against rebellion. He's not at all tolerating rebellion. The pictures of God becoming angry, God is furious, God is showing his wrath, all shows the picture that God is against rebellion. And one more thing we understand from the scripture is God also judges rebellion from the scripture portion. And look at the verses 7 and 9. So many places we find some kind of a lament, a lamenting verses here. We verse 7, we see we have been consumed. We have been dismayed. These are written in verses 7. For we have been consumed by your anger. By your wrath we have been dismayed. All this shows that God is judging rebellion. In verse 9 also we find our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. When you look at the pathetic, these are all showing the pathetic condition of people who are living under rebellion. They wanted to rebel against God. They want to live in their own ways. They were not willing to be submitting to God's ways and will. We find the pathetic condition. The psalmist is telling, we are consumed. Look at the picture of a person getting consumed. One person who is saying that, my days have declined. They're all showing the pathetic condition of people who are living under rebellion. So we understand from this passage also that God is responding. And the short life, which was discussed in the earlier part, can become miserable if a person lives in rebellion. Again, the shortness of life is mentioned in these verses. Look at verses 10. In verse 10, it is given that maybe it may contain 70 or 80 years about the content of life. And again, it is mentioned that it is soon gone, or like a bird, it will fly away. Very, of course, this passage is again touching on the earlier point that life is short. At the same time, this portion is emphasizing that the short time period can become miserable, or it can become pathetic if a person lives in rebellion. That is very clear in the scripture. And also we find a very sarcastic way of representing in verse 10. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. We know that we take pride in certain things which we boast of. We take pride to highlight something. But scripture is telling the pride of this person is only labor and sorrow. And scripture is very, very clearly teaching that a man who lives under rebellion, the condition is very pathetic, because God has designed to live on the face of the earth to be under his submission. So if you and I know this thing, that God is against rebellion, how you and I must be living wisely? We must be living under his submission. We must be living by honoring him. We must be living by giving him all the fear and awe and reverence that is due to him. Look at verse 11, how it is ending. According to the fear that is due you. The scripture is focusing on this main point here, that we need to fear God and live during the short duration of time on the face of the earth. Though the scripture is really exhorting us to be wise, because it will be utter foolishness to live this short life under rebellion. Because the pride of this life will be only labor and sorrow. It will be very pathetic. And at one point it is written that we have finished our years like a sigh. We know that when we make a sound of sighing, it only indicates that it is a very terrible situation. So how you and I can become wise is to always live under his submission. When the Hebrew writer writes in chapter 12, book of Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 10, that particular portion, the disciplining of the Lord is given there. The chastisement of the Lord for a new born again believer is given there. Again, it is showing very clearly that for a born again believer, we need to honor his lordship in our life. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9, a very beautiful question is being framed by the Hebrew writer. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 9. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? A very, very thought-provoking question. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? So living under submission is being instructed in the scripture. For a born-again believer who lives today, we need to honor his lordship in our life. We cannot walk in ways that are against his ways. We are supposed to be walking in his ways because he is our Lord. Hebrews chapter 12 says that chastisement God will do. Life can become very pathetic. Life will be full of sorrows if we walk away from the ways of God. So the scripture is teaching us now in this small portion that the short time we spend our days on the earth, the God has designed it to live under his lordship or under his submission. I know a believer who went to apply for an policy, insurance policy in Goa. And he went and the agent took the medical data. Finally the agent asked him to put the signature on a sheet of paper to attest that all the data, they are true. And the believer suddenly found that his weight has been increased by 5 kg and the height has been reduced by some 7-8 centimeters. I was wondering, is this a different person? I'm not having such kind of a body parameter. Actually, what they were trying to do is they were trying to calculate the body mass index based on height and weight so that to show that this person is healthy or not. Actually, this person's medical data is not coming in the required slab. So the agent was trying to show some favor so that he may get some benefit in the premium. And the believer got startled, surprised. What are you trying to do? And the agent told that, be quiet. This is between you and me. Nobody else knows this. The believer objected, yes, I know that it is between you and me, but I also know that it is between you, me and God. I fear God. How can I commit this malpractice? I cannot accept this. So the believer was not willing to take any favor from that agent because he feared God. He always wanted to walk in his ways. He always wanted to be submissive to his will. He always wanted to be honoring the Lord of his life. So the scripture is challenging us that the short period of time, dear brothers and sisters, we need to live under his submission, under his lordship. And it's good to evaluate our life. Are we living every day under his lordship? And rebellion cannot be hidden. The scripture is saying that it is not possible to hide. Let us not foolishly indulge in rebellion and make our life full of chastisement from God. At the same time, the scripture is challenging us to focus on him, focus on to fear him and live under his submission. And if you read the book of Hebrews also, we find about our Lord Jesus Christ, how perfectly he lived under obedience. How perfectly he lived under obedience to his Father. How perfectly he was willing to submit to his Father. He is a great example for you and I to live on the face of the earth so that our life will not become miserable by living a life in rebellion. And the third and the final area of the design, what God has designed in the life, is that the restoration of life is possible. So the challenge is, you and I can live wisely when we know that it is possible for God to restore our life. Let us look at the verses from 13 to 17. It speaks about this fact that God can restore the lives of people. And when you look at the context, in verses from 1 to 12, we read that the people were rebelling. But also we know that now, after Moses is admitting the failures, the situation of the people, they are very pathetic. People are dismayed, people are consumed, because they were not willing to live under the submission of the living God. But at this stage we find that Moses is, after admitting all the failures in their life, after admitting that the people of Israel, he being the leader, they all miserably failed, is not turning to anywhere else. He is not turning to somewhere else for restoration. He is turning to the great designer of life. He is not going here and there, but he is turning again to the Lord who can effectively restore their life. Look at verses from 13 to 17. It is a prayer for restoration. How it is starting in verse 13 is, "Do return, O Lord, how long will it be? And be sorry for your servants." We find that there is a heart of repentance. They have understood that they have miserably failed. They are trying to understand their failures in their life. But now they are, with a repentive heart, they are turning to God. So two things we can study about the restoration from this small passage. First one is, restoration is possible with God alone. That is very, very clearly mentioned in this portion. Look at verse 13. It is starting, "Do return, O Lord." Moses is crying to the Lord, "Do return, O Lord." Again in verse 17 we read, "Let the favor of the Lord our God." The cry of restoration is offered to the great God, who is a great designer of life, who is eternal being. And again in verses 14 and 16, many places the word "your" is used, your loving kindness. Again in verse 16, "your work, your majesty." All these things very clearly shows that restoration, the cry of restoration is offered to God, or it shows that restoration is possible with God alone. So affirming that restoration is possible with God alone can give wisdom in our life. When we are in very miserable condition, that we have been rebelling against God and we are in a state of repentance, and turning to God is absolutely, that is required, and that gives wisdom. We are not turning anywhere else, because the restoration is possible only with God. The second part is, a thorough restoration is possible with God. Look at verse 14. We find there that God, the cry for restoration, "Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us." And in verse 14 also, "That we may sing for joy and be glad all our days." All our days. That means the prayer shows that earlier the days were declining. They were in dismay. They were in confusion. And they were also in a stage telling that they are consumed. But here, the prayer is showing that it can be restored thoroughly. All the days are now filled with gladness. That is the time of prayer Moses is doing. And verse 15 is very interesting. Look at verse 15. It shows that even the afflicted days can be compensated. Afflicted days in life in rebellion can be compensated. Who can do this? Only the Lord can do it. Afflicted days can be compensated. Verse 15. It is saying that according to the days you have afflicted us. Thorough restoration is possible only with the Lord, who is the designer of our life. And again verse 16 shows that the work and majesty which were missing earlier, because God is against rebellion, again they can come back. Look at verse 16. "Your work and your majesty may appear not only to that generation but to the coming generation also. And verse 17, again a beautiful statement of prayer is that the work of man also can have lasting value, or the futility will be taken. So all these verses put together shows that a thorough restoration is possible with God. And it is only possible with God. And we all know the beautiful invitation of Jesus in the book of Matthew chapter 11, 28. If you study the passage there, we understand that the invitation is like this: come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. And the invitation is to the person. It's not to any idea or philosophy. Come to me. And also, if you look at the background, the weariness and the heavy laden condition is caused by wickedness. If you look at the previous paragraph, we can understand. And a person who goes to him and who accepts the invitation, scripture says, Jesus is promising that I will give you rest. A thorough restoration is possible only with Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ came to restore us. And that's a great challenge. So what would be the wise action when you find that you are in trouble, or a dear brother or sister, they are going through a very miserable state? The best action would be to counsel him to be restored by God. I cannot do any restoration. You cannot do any kind of restoration. It's only possible with the Lord. I have a very small DVD player with me. And what happened a few months back, that the sound is not coming very properly in the DVD player. Then what I did is I took the screwdriver and I opened the cover and did something on the inner player system. And I put the things back, and now no sound is coming. So I was just surprised what was happening, and I looked at the back side of the DVD player. I found a seal that is written, warranty not valid if the seal is broken. So it was a great learning point for me. I could have taken the player to the person who's authorized to handle it. That is exactly what we do when we find people who need to be restored. You cannot restore anybody, and human philosophies or psychological techniques cannot restore anybody. A thorough restoration is only possible with God. The great desire of life will never fail in doing a thorough restoration. And even many times we see that when sometimes we stop praying for someone, thinking that this person is beyond repair. Absolutely, that is a foolish thought. Scripture says restoration is thoroughly possible with the Lord. Even he can make a beauty out of ashes, because he is a great restorer, and he can restore incomplete. Even the afflicted days can be completely compensated. So do not, dear brothers and sisters, do not stop praying for someone that you who needs a kind of a restoration. Even in our own life, when we find that we have been living away from God, living under rebellion, where to turn to? It's only two steps away. Repent and return. The Lord can thoroughly restore our lives. It is only possible because he is the designer of life. He is the eternal being. He has absolute authority over our life, and he is also the dwelling place who wants to be involved and connected in our life on a day-to-day basis. So, dear brothers and sisters, we are just spend some time understanding the great designer of our lives, and also certain areas about God's design about our lives. So my wish and prayer is that you and I may spend the remaining days of the year even. There are 39 days remaining for this year. And do not postpone it to the beginning of next year. The Christmas season is coming. How wisely you and I can use this time for the Lord, sharing gospel with someone, about the great love of Christ you and I have enjoyed? Can we not invest some time to give a tract or tell about the great work of Jesus by taking flesh and coming to the earth? May the Lord help us to use the time, most of the time, with the Lord, having invested time and our energy in things that have eternal values. And I also pray that and wish that there will not be any need of restoration also, because as we live every day under His submission, may the Lord help us to glorify His come. And if the Lord tarries, let us be acknowledged as good and faithful servant, or with all gladness we all meet Him in the clouds. Thank you very much.